When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
Jillian?
Hello, Manis.
I was wheezing already.
Oh, man, sometimes you make me laugh.
What's up? What do you want to talk about? I can see it in your eyes.
Well, so I wasn't going to talk about it, but...
Oh.
Here we go.
Lucky us. I wasn't going to,
but here it is anyway.
There we go.
No, I'm always intrigued. People... Okay, I'll just tell the truth.
Go.
Remember a while ago when I lent that money out?
Yeah, it was like $500, right?
Like last... Yes, you remember... God, you got a steel trap, man. I got to admit.
I don't, actually. But I remember what a wuss ball you were for not saying anything to her.
Well, okay. So about a year... No, it's over a year ago. It's a year ago in February.
Uh-huh.
A friend of mine... I reconnected after, in a nutshell, I hadn't seen her for years and years and years. And I had gone, you know, I'd moved back to Vancouver and I got in touch with her to reconnect.
Okay.
And we talked and we were going to get together. And we never did. And then the next day I got an email asking to lend money because she was going to be, what do you call it when you're shipped out of your place?
Homeless.
Evicted. No, homeless.
Oh, shipped
evicted.
Out of your place.
Okay.
On
evicted.
The street.
And I was like... And she asked for $500 and I was like, but I just talked to you yesterday. I just connected with you. And I felt kind of you. I felt like, man, okay.
You were.
And so I didn't really respond.
And not in
instead
a good
of being
way.
Truthful, I didn't respond right. And then I got another email saying, well, can I have it or not? And I kind of was like, Anyway, so I put the $500 in her account.
Okay.
And then a note came back and said, oh, thanks. You saved blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last I've heard,
uh-huh.
Not a note, not a, hey, you know, I'm going to be able, because she did say she'd be able to pay me back something soon.
Okay.
And so not a note, nothing. And I didn't respond. And I thought, okay, I'm going to wait a year.
Remember
you, well, you said if you lend money, you have to lend money without any expectations. You got to walk into it.
I said, don't lend money, give money or don't give money.
Oh, did you say that?
Pretty sure. Ah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, really?
You said always consider it...
Gift.
Just a gift.
If you're going to give
yeah.
it, yeah.
Oh, then I should just shut up then and just give her the money.
No, because that wasn't the pretense.
No, that though. Wasn't the pretense. You're right. It was, I'm going to pay you back.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to let a year go by, okay. And then I'm going to get in touch. Okay, so it's been over a year.
Okay.
And I just, what I don't understand about people is, how can you not even talk to a person?
This is your problem.
It's not my problem. It's her problem.
No, it's all your problem.
Jillian,
because
that's
she said, can I have money? And instead of saying no, you dodged it. Then she asked you again. And you didn't want to give it, but you gave it because you were uncomfortable. And then you're sitting here a year later waiting for her to return the money, but you haven't. Have you contacted her and asked for the money?
No, I couldn't.
Your problem. Same problem, by the way. You're not asserting yourself.
No. When is it? What about her responsibility? How can a person phone a friend after all this time
her
and then not...
Her responsibility is irrelevant. The only thing we can control in this life is our actions and our side of the street. You allowed yourself to be guilted into giving her the money. You then sit here passively and allow her to run off with your $500. You should say, hey, I would really appreciate it if I can have my $500 back.
But the thing is, I know that she probably doesn't have the $500 to give me. I'm quite positive she doesn't have a spare $500 to give me.
Well,
Go ahead, Jake.
Yes, Jake.
It sounds like you know she's not going to call you. You know she won't. So why don't you call her and say, whatever you have that you can give back of it, I'd appreciate that. And maybe she'll say, I have all 500. Or maybe she'll say, I have 50, zero.
Or I can make payments.
Yeah.
But I don't even, honestly, it's not that I want, oh, Autumn. Yes, Autumn.
I've got something to add here. Well, and I think that's what you're going to say. You don't even want the money back. But I think at this point.
That's what I was going to say.
It's become, I'm hurt. Well, and you know what? And
you
I think
set
for
yourself
you,
up!
But all of that aside, however you got to this place, then you need to call the closure of having this conversation with this person.
Yes, you need to take responsibility.
But you're right, Autumn. I don't want the money. To have the money, for me to take the money from her, I feel worse knowing that she doesn't have it.
No, that's the same thing that got you into it in the first place. Therefore, you feel worse. You feel guilty. When you have nothing to feel guilty about in the first place, somehow you got guilted into, if you don't give her the money, she's going to be on the street. And you assumed responsibility for her circumstance and her condition. Then you allowed yourself, knowing you weren't going to get the money back from day one, to be disappointed, which is a theme in your life, because you set yourself up and do not assert yourself or protect yourself.
But wait, why is this? I don't understand why the three of you believe this is on what I'm saying in the big picture is, how can a person walk through life knowing they took $500 from somebody and not even respond?
I'm telling you, that's irrelevant.
But it's not to me.
But it is, sweetie. You're like the person who got left by the guy going, why didn't he call? Why did he cheat? Why don't understand? Like, you're trying to solve the mystery of why the relationship went wrong instead of looking at, which is all that matters, why you were in the relationship in the first place. The lesson for you here is not understanding her pathology. The lesson for you is understanding your pathology, why you allowed yourself to enter into this dynamic, to be disappointed by someone you knew was going to disappoint you, to be guilted into something that has nothing to do with you. And what you need to look at is, she's disappointing to you. This is historical for you. Where else in your life have you felt disappointed?
Oh, don't make me go back. Can we just deal with now?
No, because that's what this is about.
No, you're missing my point.
No, you are missing the lesson.
Yes, Autumn?
Oh, I'm just listening. I understand what you're saying, but I still think that that's still part of the conversation, that you need to ask her that question.
That's some healing. That's the healing part. You got to look at, though, why you did it in the first place. So why don't you
But Jillian, I think I know why I did it.
Why'd you do it?
Guilt and this
why
and
were you
and
guilty?
I felt bad.
Why did you feel bad? You're not looking at... You did it for two reasons. A, why would this allow you to feel guilty? If somebody I hadn't spoke to in years reached out and asked me for $500, I would just say, you know what, I'm really sorry. We haven't spoken in years.
Okay, because I've always thought she was better than me. I've always thought she was funnier, more talented, this and that. Oh my God, who knew this is where this come? I have always had, oh my sweet Jesus. I have always felt it necessary. Oh my God.
Look at us,
in
guys.
My life,
so good.
To pay my, holy crap, to pay
for friendship, for this, for that, that I have to pay for it. Oh my God. Oh God, can we end the damn show now?
See?
See, I've been like, I would buy. Oh, buddy.
That's what's really coming. And you were really hoping that somewhere along the line.
No, I was hoping that you would solve this.
I did.
No, but in a different way. So I was hoping you would phone her or something and say, "Why? Where's her money?"
What I would like to know is, where's my money?
That's what
how come you're paying everybody else for their friendship? Where's my check?
No,
I'm definitely the funnier one in the room. I want to know where my money is. Why isn't it working this way? I'd like $500.
But I'm always... And so I always... When she asked for it, I went, well, you're way more talented than me, and... I don't know.
Buddy, that's what this is really about. And then not getting the $500 back is making it feel like a validation to you that is the case, that you are only worth the money, that, you know, people will not come through for you and your feelings as a friend, that she's not going to think about how you're feeling because you don't matter, that is the only value you had to her was what you could provide monetarily. But what you did here was attract an individual that would set you up for the same pattern. You said, I've always felt like. And so you put yourself in a situation to experience this all over again. You created a repetition compulsion. You put yourself in the same pattern, right? Feeling like you had to pay to impress or to please the people around you that you thought were better than you. And then you were subsequently disappointed when the favor wasn't returned or you weren't validated as a person and so on. When the truth of the matter is that, as you know, the only way these repetition compulsions heal is by you giving yourself the very thing you were looking for, right? Which is validation. And that means, Janice, that you should never have paid for the $500. You should have never paid the $500 because you would have said no. This is not about me. This is about you. I'm a great person. I'm not responsible for you. You need to give yourself the thing you're searching for. And the way you would have done that is by not giving away your $500. Hmm. Look at us, guys.
I'm your friend for free.
I know, but now don't you feel jilted? Who knew she was paying?
I knew.
You did.
I'm getting paid.
Oh. You're getting paid.
I'm getting paid.
How much?
$50 a day.
Really?
Short days too.
Oh, no. Do you have to be available to her on call or just?
Oh, it's when I want to.
I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, I would like my checks made payable to my loan out.
Man.
If you don't mind.
To loan out?
My loan out. Yeah, my corporation.
Oh, I've never heard that term before.
Well, that's because you're less than me.
Because you've always been more talented.
Because I've always been more talented. Oh, see, man.
Man, this was supposed to be a short, snappy little segment. Look what happened. I fell apart. I fell apart at the beginning of the show. Now what's going to happen?
Well, it's pretty much crap from here on out. Oh, jeez.
Oh, we might have to play soft music again.
No, please don't do that.
Soft, emotional music.
Do that counter-programming.
Yes, dear.
Oh, I have something snappy, a.k.a. in my wheelhouse. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. It's looking at how social, environmental, and societal cues prod us to eat more. Oh. And what we can do about it.
Okay.
All right. Now, this one is geared a little bit towards the men. I've noticed that we've started to get some brave male souls listening to the show.
Yes, we do.
And I feel like we never cater to them. And for the ladies will always listen and, like, tell their boyfriends or their husbands. But I feel like we should, you know, we've been getting brave and airing segments on manscaping and all kinds of stuff. I mean, so it's kind of more guy-oriented.
All right.
Because the studies that I looked up were more about guys or how men react, although women will relate to this too. So there was a study that showed that guys consume almost 20% more calories when they're eating with their same-sex friends than when they dine solo. And, you know, part of it is like, you know, they're with the crew, the posse, and they get the nachos. And it's like this kind of, nobody wants to be like.
I'll have a salad.
Yeah. And they're drinking, and there's like this, this sort of, it's kind of, I think, embarrassing, I guess, for guys like, oh, you know, I'm going to bro down and get a, maybe I'm being stupid, but I can see this making sense. And I did read it in Men's Health, and it's like guys are uncomfortable getting like, oh, can I get a salad? Yeah, when they're at a bar with their buddies. It's like burgers and wings and what have you. And so one of the ways to kind of manage it is making public your decision to eat healthy, of course. And just sort of saying, instead of ordering like five baskets of wings or nachos, order baked wings. And get like the modified version of these things. And just kind of say to the group, like, hey, you know, I'm eating healthy. Sometimes it doesn't make me a wuss to get a light beer. I think when men, I've seen men order light beer and catch a rash of, you know,
really?
What about? Yeah. I think it's like not considered the masculine thing to do. Yeah, but if you kind of like talk to your buddies and like, heart disease isn't cool. By the way, not only is heart disease not cool, it helps, it hurts, it makes it hard to get it up.
Yeah. Wow, did you hear that?
Did you know that, Jake?
I did not.
Blood flow. Not kidding. You need the blood flow to make that.
It would make sense.
To make that go up down there.
Yeah, well, I've
blood flow.
Heard about that stuff.
Yeah, guys care about that. That's
masculine.
Yeah,
apparently so.
All right, another one. Men, in particular, have been known to consume up to 300 calories more when on a date. And it kind of comes back to the same reason.
Really?
Yeah, they feel like they need to order like a big steak, testosterone. Do you ever get that, Jake?
I get the nervous eating where I'm just like, if I don't know what to say, I just keep eating. So
really?
I don't have to talk. You know.
Aww.
But I don't get nervous often. I'm a pimp.
I'm a pimp, right.
Yeah.
A pimp, yeah. Well, like, they feel like they should order a steak, like a manly man thing to eat.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
And they
feel kind of wussy ordering a salad. So, I mean, men in LA, I think, are a little bit different, but I would definitely say a guy in, like, Oklahoma is probably going to feel like...
Give me a beer and a burger.
Yeah. You know, like it's so, here's a little tip. Try sharing an entree with your date and adding a salad because there's something sensual about sharing a meal.
Oh, coming from you who gets angry with sharing the food.
No, I don't like to share food. I am like a prison bitch.
I know you are.
Don't touch my food.
Your arm goes
around.
I'm an only child.
That's right. Like, I don't like to share.
God, you gave us a rash when we were on tour.
Because you would never order food. You know what they would do? They would never order. And I would always make sure that I had food. And then you know what they'd do? They would look at me and lick their chops like begging street dogs. And I would end up having to dole out. So, you know, I would order like three things because I would know. And then Heidi, oh, no, baby, I'm not hungry. And then it would look at me, and then McManus would look at me, and then Giancarlo, what you got there? It used to piss me off. Yeah. It's like, you know what? Nothing upsets me more than when you say to somebody, hey, would you like some? And they say yes. I'm like, oh, man. No. No, it's a rhetorical question.
Oh, all right.
I don't share either. I don't like to share.
Piss off.
I mean, if I offer
order your own king,
when you're with your boyfriend,
salad.
Would you want to have a say? Oh, let's share this lovely entree.
But if we agree in advance, but we are both non-sharers.
Yeah, don't touch my food.
I'm getting this. If this is what you want, get this, you can order the same thing. Like, you know, people get weird. Like, oh, if you're getting that, I don't want to get that.
Oh,
multiple times.
That.
We always order the same thing because that's what I want. I don't want him to eat the whole thing.
You're eating mine.
Well, then now you're telling, but you're telling in this man segment.
It's a date. It's not
it's
a date. Ongoing
okay.
relationship.
Right. That's right. Autumn's in a relationship.
Don't touch
not
my
dating.
Things. You know what's even worse? You know what's the worst thing about being a homo? Let me tell you. She wears all my clothes and ruins them. Pisses me off. It pisses me off. I'll pull out a perfectly good shirt and I look at it and it's got some sort of Phoenix booger snot spit kid marker. Lubal oil. Let me tell you, for all my sisters out there, I would love a little help because here's my question. And when I say my sisters, I mean
my sisters,
right? So with people who are black or African American, you have to constantly, like, you don't want them to get ashy because, like, when their skin gets dry, it looks ashy. They get, like, white and their skin looks really dry. It's like, dear God, please oil that baby. So you think I'm joking. I get terrified. Like when, if we're out somewhere and Lou's come from a long day of school, like I now have lotion in my backpack, but I would spit shine that kid. If I saw like a sister coming down the street and she had like ashy legs, I'm like, and I would start running. I'm like, oh God. Oh my God. Cause you look truly negligent. Like an ignorant, you know, cracker when the, anyway. So now I oil Lou Ball in the mornings and at night after her bath. So it's like before we get ready to go to school, I oil up her little scalp, spray down her braids, oil up her little body. And if you use lotion, it doesn't work. Within 5 minutes, she's ashy all over again. And then at night before bed, she gets out of her bath, I oil her up. And it's so cute now because she thinks that if she oils me, I'll become black. Because she's like, why are you oiling? I go, because see, baby, you get all white and you get ashy. And I always tell her how beautiful her skin is and how I wish how I show her like my sun damage and like I wish I had black skin. So now she oils me when I get out of the shower. She goes, I just keep oiling, Mama. One day you'll be black. I'm like, thank you, sweetie. I've been trying for 40 years. Still white. But so anyway, I oil her up, but then like she runs around the house and oil gets on my clothes are all stained. Like the pillows are all stained because I grease her up. So her jammies are all stained. So I'd love if there are tips, please don't be mad at me. I'm humbling myself and saying to you, if there are tips here, I'd like to know them.
All right.
All right. Ready? Moving on.
Alone. Back to the man eating.
Yeah. My man eating segment. Alone watching TV, people can eat.
Ying.
Up to 71% more.
That totally, because you're not concentrating on the food.
No, you're not. You're just shoveling it in.
Yeah.
And do you know how many moms will say to me, like, oh my God, the only way I can get my toddler to eat is to put the TV on? Like, I know it's a terrible thing to say, but Heidi's even said it to me about Phoenix. And I was like, babe, we gotta, you know, and I just started playing games with him to get him to eat. So like now I'll like joke around with him like that I'm going to eat his food. So, like, we'll play a game, like, the race to the bite, so I can kind of get him to get his food in. Because, like, if he won't eat his dinner, then he's up all night long because he's hungry. So, it's like, you're like, dear God, please eat your dinner. But that, yeah, when they watch TV, man, it's incredible. They just mindlessly shovel. The kids have no concept of, like, when they're full.
Well, and when you're watching a game, you're not concentrating on your food.
I'll tell you, Phoenix once ate, and I kept thinking, God, it seems like he's eating a lot. God, he seems like he's eating. And he, poor little guy, puked everywhere because he ate so much.
Oh,
and that's when I was like, okay, no more with the TV on. No more. So obviously, you know the general rule of thumb, don't eat in front of the TV. Yep. Don't eat while watch. Eat, then watch your
then
show.
Then watch.
Okay, ready? Another one that seems to be a problem are family meals. And again, men who have their family dinners have been able to consume 35% less when the food is not on the table because it makes them go seconds and thirds. So serve themselves and like sit down
don't put
the food on the table. Yeah. Like the bowl of mac and cheese or the bowl of spaghetti or the bowl of whatever of the food you prepare because it makes you continue to go back.
Huh.
Or it facilitates.
Of course it does.
You're
continuing
to go back. And another one, social events. And again, this is so funny because we as women like feel like in public we should eat like lightly and delicately. But here's one. Ready? Listen to this. In a study from the University of Scranton, participants were asked to rate characteristics of people who ate either pie or oatmeal for breakfast. The pie eaters were perceived as more humorous and less boring. Men. That was their perception. Showing more self-control than others, even if it's just making healthy food choices, can increase chances of relationship conflict.
And that's my theory. Sometimes when people, it brings out grumpiness.
Well, and it threatens other people.
Right.
So what the suggestion is here is to compliment the food and talk about how great everything looks, especially like if you're a people pleaser. So you don't end up eating more than you normally would, or you feel uncomfortable and you feel like you have to eat the bad things. Compliment the food, talk about how great everything looks, and simultaneously fill your plate with the healthiest options. Yeah.
Well.
All right.
No, that was pretty snappy.
I think so.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's been your snappiest, but it was pretty snappy.
It had some definite...
Yeah.
So sample boxes have become the hottest thing lately. And a sample box is, let's say, you get a sample box for your dog and you get cool dog toys and dog treats, or a makeup sample box and you get all different kinds of products. Well, Bulu Box is a health box, and you get all kinds of healthy snacks and supplements that you can try and see if you like it. It's the bomb. And here's the deal. For every $10 box that you get, you can get $10 back in reward points. So that means you get $10 to spend towards full-size purchases of your newfound healthy products. It's a killer service. I absolutely love it. And I discover new things in my little box that I love every month, whether it's new protein powders or natural supplements for hair, nails, and skin. You name it, they've got it in there. Bulu Box is offering you a chance to get your first box absolutely free. All you've got to do is enter the promo code, which is my name, Jillian, J-I-L-L-I-A-N, and you just go to bulubox.com, and that's B-U-L-U-B-O-X.com. You click on the microphone in the top left corner, and you enter the promo code, my name, Jillian. That's all you got to do. So here's to you discovering a healthier you. You know that I was going through this phase...
Yes.
Where I was working out really hard.
Oh, you mean before?
No. Lately, right? I was working out with the ass man.
Yes.
And then, so here's what happened. So I was going to the gym, and I was just like dreading it, per usual. And all of a sudden, it's not actually all of a sudden, but I was like, why is this not getting easier? Do you know what I mean? Like, I kept expecting myself to not find it so grueling.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And not only, for a little while, like, I was getting faster on the treadmill, I was being able to do more reps, I was getting stronger, but it got to a point where I was like, oh my God, like, I've done this before, why is this so hard?
Mm-hmm.
And as I was kind of thinking that through, I realized that I wasn't applying my own knowledge to my own workouts.
Right.
I was overtraining. And I was piecing my workouts together because it's really hard for me to sort of push myself. So I like to take a class. I like to work with a trainer. And so, like, once or maybe twice a week, I would work out with Dan, a.k.a. the Ass Man. And then, you know, I might work out with Kenta, who's on my DVDs, Kenta Seiki, I might work out with Kenta. And we would do a whole different kind of workout once or twice. And then I might take a spin class, or I might do a yoga class. And I realized that there were times when I was doing legs, like, four times a week. And I know better than that.
Right.
Plus, I was also in a situation where not only was I not periodizing my workouts or breaking them down like, okay, I'm going to do this muscle group and then allow it to rest for a couple of days, but on top of that, it just kept going up with regard to intensity and resistance.
Okay.
So, you know, I would hit the squat rack, and I hate working out with weights. I really don't like it. I like body weights and like light free weights. And Dan's really into weights, and I'm like, all right, well, you know, once or twice a week, it's good for my bone density, blah, blah, blah. And I got to this point where I'm like, I'm squatting like 85 pounds, which I'm sure a lot of people out there are like, that's nothing. But I don't like it. I would rather do jump squats.
It's not, and by the way, it's not nothing. But
I'd rather be doing jump squats. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't stand it. And it was also the superset. It was like, okay, you know, 20 reps of 85-pound squats with, you know, box jumps to failure into pull-ups into pistol squats. And I just was like, I want to be dead right now. I'm so unhappy. And I was like, it's just not getting easier. And I realized it's like, I was training too hard. Mm-hmm. I was just flat out training too hard. And we were never, and I looked at Dan and I was like, dude, it's too much. Like, it's too much. I need a week where we kind of go backwards a little bit, you know, where it's like we do 15 reps and 60 pounds instead of 20 reps and 85 pounds superset with box jumps and this and that. And I guess I wanted to really touch upon the concept of overtraining one more time, when too much is too much.
You know, what's interesting is how often that was asked about on tour.
Really?
People overtrain. Yeah, like just that, you know, am I, they would list this list of things they're doing and go, why am I so tired? Why can't I? And it's like, well, look what you're doing.
Yeah,
and
you're overdoing it.
You're overdoing it. Yeah.
And so I wanted to go over, again, this is, we've touched upon this stuff periodically throughout the very long time that we've been doing this show. But here are some things you need to look out for, man. If you're getting sick all the time, if you're fatigued, if you're noticing a decrease in your performance at the gym and wondering what the heck's going on, if you're getting injuries, if you're going overuse injuries, if you've hurt your shoulder, God help you if you get a stress fracture. We really don't want that. If your heart rate during training, if you can't get it up,
oh,
can't elevate
dear
your heart rate.
Jillian, look
I
what
know
you, just
you can't
said.
Elevate. If you can't elevate your heart rate,
that's a different segment.
I know, I know. If you can't elevate your heart rate while you're working out, and if while you're resting your heart rate is elevated, if your legs feel like cement, if you're feeling puffy or a little bit bloated, all signs of overtraining.
Wow.
And quite honestly, if you're working out more than 5 hours a week, you're overdoing it. If you're a professional athlete, that's one thing. And then, of course, you're supplementing and you're eating all of this food to help stabilize what you're doing in the gym. But even still, if you're training for even marathon runners, like they only have a couple really long runs, you know, the 13-mile run, and then there's one, I think there's one other crazy run before you get to the marathon. Like, you shouldn't be running over an hour a day. Like, you just shouldn't. So the key is no more than 5 hours a week. I mean, there are people that go six. There are people that do 90-minute workouts, two-hour workouts. It's too much. It's not necessary. And quite honestly, if you're doing that, you're not training the right way. You should be donezo, deadmeister. Or within 45 minutes to an hour, you should be finito.
Or the training's become a different psyche than
absolutely
than what.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're addicted to it.
Yeah.
You're addicted to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a friend that I have that is absolutely addicted to exercise.
Really? Yeah.
Honestly, truthfully, I think Bob is, he's addicted. Like, he goes to CrossFit twice a day and spin. Like, he will work out three times a day. He is. It's his, by the way, I mean, it's a healthier addiction, obviously, than other things. But, yeah. And also, if you're exercising so compulsively that like you're uncomfortable taking a rest day.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Whoa. You know, it's like something off there, man. And if you're like compulsively obsessed and preoccupied with how many calories you're burning throughout the day, or you're never exercising for fun. It's just, if you're choosing exercise instead of going to social activities, and there's a point, you know what I mean? Not to say that I was doing that. I definitely don't have an exercise addiction. I wish. What willpower. but I definitely was overtraining my body, and I was like, I got to take a week, man, and slow my roll here. And then when I went back to the gym, my performance was better.
Yeah.
Because the body sometimes just needs a little rest.
Isn't it interesting how it can shift into and becoming, I don't know what that disorder is. Is it, you know, is there such a thing called compulsive? I mean, is it a disorder? I don't know.
They call it, this is such a strange name, but they'll call it like exercise bulimia. That's what it's called.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Exercise bulimia generally, I think, is when people like binge on food and then exercise compulsively. Exercise addiction. It's compulsive exercise. Like, there are different aspects of it. So, like, exercise bulimia is when you basically binge and purge it all with excessive, crazy exercise. And then compulsive exercise is when you exercise, like, all the things I just mentioned.
Yeah.
Choosing over. Like, it's... And we've had people that have called in about their exercise addictions on the show, which is a deeper sort of thing. And I would say, yes, it's absolutely a better addiction than alcohol, food, compulsive overspending. But if it's starting to take a significant toll on your health, you gotta deal with that, man. If
or
you're
when
going
you can't,
more than 5-6 hours a week, too much.
Yeah, or when you can't enjoy a meal without thinking. You're absolutely right. In you know, in my dance days, when, you know,
well,
I remember
days.
In my dance days,
oh.
You know, we would feel, you know, you go out and have beer and nachos and just go, and you just, all you think about is how you got to get that off. You know, you enjoy it, but you don't really enjoy it because all you're thinking about is, oh God, what, remorse. You get this remorse about eating it. Because you know how hard you got to work to get it off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I do know what you mean. Absolutely. So just that's all. Just a word to the wise. If you're noticing any of those physical symptoms of overtraining, dial it back, man. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to periodize your training. When you're working out hard, you go up, 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 up for like 6 weeks and then back 2 weeks to where you were at 4 weeks ago. And then up, 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 up for 6 weeks and then back 2 weeks. So it's like six steps forward, two steps back.
Gotcha.
That's, yeah. And if you're noticing the signs of, like, exercise addiction, you might want to get a little help with that. I want to look at what's...
find out what's really going on.
What's really going on.
That's right.
All right. Get some psychoanalysis, as my mom would say.
That's right. Okay, we'll be right back. All right. The Love Doctor has an email question.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Are you prepared? Do you need to do anything?
Let me hydrate, please.
Okay, while you're... apparently hydrating. It sounds like you're drinking beer.
Oh, I wish.
Okay, yeah. Dana writes, I struggle terribly with dating. How can I make it not so awkward and uncomfortable?
Aw.
See?
Poor little buddy.
See, I understand, Dana.
Don't we know it? All right. Gosh, you know what? I think dating is hard for everybody. Especially if it's a blind date, that's really uncomfortable.
Yeah, true.
And even if it's like you met someone and then they ask you out and then you're like, oh my God, now what? And it's tense. I think we feel a ton of pressure to be on or to meet somebody's expectations, to perform, or I know some of us do, and it's uncomfortable. We're like, oh my God, what if we can't make conversation? What if?
Right.
And I would say the first thing to do is to really go into this with an open mind, try to release your expectations and your perception of their expectations.
Good point.
I think when you go into a date, it's like you look your best. You put on your best outfit, your best front, your best A game, your best conversation, your best foot forward. And while I don't want you to go in there and blow the whole thing up, I mean, you don't want to seem like you don't care, for goodness sake, but don't pretend to be someone you're not. And I think a lot of us do.
Yeah.
You know, we feel like we have to say the right thing, do the right thing, be the right way. And at the end of the day, if this works out with this person, they're going to end up figuring out who you are anyway. So they're either going to love you for who you are, or you're going to get down the road and they're going to go, oh my God, no, I'm not interested. And you're going to have to deal with it then later, which is worse.
Right.
So my thing is always be yourself. Truly. Don't be someone you're not. And also, don't bring your previous dating history to the table. It's not fair. It's not fair to you, and it's not fair to the other person.
How do you mean?
Gosh, like if you've always been cheated on, and then you go in and you're like, you're jaded, you're bitter, you're not really open, you have preconceived notions. And I remember I posted something once, and it said, like, don't let the person that broke your heart, like, keep you from the person that will cherish you, or something to that effect.
Oh, interesting.
And or keep, you know, even if they break your heart, like something to that. Something about like, oh, get over it and have an open mind and always stay open. And people were like, no, thank you. Like in the comments, no, thank you. No way. After being cheated on 5 times, I'm never going through this again. And I, you know, you want to reach out through the comments and be like, hey, girl, maybe it's you.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
You've been attracting people who are cheating on you. It's not everybody's going to cheat on you, dude. It's you. It's who you're attracting and what you're playing out. It's the way you are abusing you. And another thing that makes me so sad is that if you do have a bad experience and somebody cheats on you or somebody hurts you or somebody lies to you, it happens. But are you really going to let that individual keep you from happiness? Are you? Don't try to leave your baggage at the door. Start fresh. Give it a clean slate. Don't go in with any history that's tainting your approach.
Right.
You know what I mean, Manis?
I do.
And don't alter what you want. I think a lot of women are afraid to be honest. I don't find men so much are that way. Or maybe guys. Like, don't lie. If you don't want to get married, say, I'm not looking to get married right now. If you do want to be married, say, I'm looking to find the one. It's not to say it's you. Don't get me wrong. It's not like, hey, I need to get married right away and I want to have a baby by next month. No. But if you are looking to get married to have a baby, like, don't hide it. Don't lie about it.
I guess you don't. Sometimes there's things you don't want to say right out front, but you're right, because if it comes up later.
Yeah.
You're right.
I would just say, you know, yeah, I'd like to find the right person. I'd like to have kids if the right person comes along. Not, hey, I'm looking to have kids. Where are you at? Not that. You know what I mean? You don't want to do
that. That's gnarly.
You don't want to do that. But be transparent about where you're at. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And
yes.
I would say also, if you're really struggling, like, oh my God, I don't know what to talk about. I don't this, I don't that. Find out who the other person is. Ask them about themselves.
Yeah, like when I Googled the woman that I was on, went on that date with and thought she was a...
what was she? A goat herder? What do you think she was? She kept pigs or what did you think?
A mule sanctuary.
A mule sanctuary.
Yeah, always
doing... But she didn't.
And she didn't. It was the wrong person.
So maybe don't Google.
Maybe
that.
Not. Yeah, maybe not. Do your research, but don't Google, because there's many people with the same name.
Yeah.
Just a word of warning.
Yeah. And don't play games. I think that also is so hard. I found that any relationship that works is straightforward. You know, like Heidi and I started dating and it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to call her tomorrow. You know what I mean? Or I'll respond to that text in 3 hours. Or let me say this in such a way that's kind of vague. The games.
Yeah, I went out with someone who loved the being chased. Her friend told me, oh, don't do that. Don't do that with her because that's not what she likes. She likes to, how do you want, not chased.
She wanted you to be cold?
Yeah, more cold. And it was just so not me. It was just, I just was like, well, and I tried. And all I did was, I hated myself.
I'm sure.
Hated myself.
Yeah.
Don't listen to their friends.
Be you. Like, my friend Andy, like, when she met her fiancé, you know Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, when she met her fiancé, it was like, game on. I like you. I like you, too. And they were in the right place. You know, my friend Christy, same thing. She met this guy. And there's been a series of idiots on both sides. You know, I've watched them both date idiots. I've dated idiots. Heidi's dated idiots. And I'm sure people think I'm an idiot too. But the point is, when the right person, don't try to manipulate somebody.
Or manipulate.
Get them to like you by being unavailable. Don't. Just.
So you never second-guessed yourself like, oh, should I call? Is it too soon to call?
No. If I wanted to call, I did. And if the person was a game player, I was over it. But remember, I had a 7-year relationship with an alcoholic, cheater, game playing liar. And oh man, the minute I would see get a whiff of any of that, I would go running. Oh my God, my little ass. Woo wee!
Could you see that?
I was a smoke trail. Bye bye.
Where did you go, Jillian? You went?
Running. Yeah, running away. Forrest Gump.
Your body language.
Running. A bye-bye.
Sayonara.
Yeah.
Really?
With the games, man. No. Not hot. And, you know, especially in L.A., people do that so much. I mean, it's just like the hot, cold. Bleh, I can't stand it.
But there's such a fear of being eager. Do you not think? It's a fear.
I don't think it's eager. I think it's genuine. And if it's reciprocated, then it works. And if it isn't, it isn't. You know what I mean?
But isn't everybody kind of like, when it's reciprocated, it's like, you know, because all you want to do is just, you just can't get enough of each other at the beginning.
Yeah, you know, but then there's those that are like, oh, well, if I'm cold or hard to get, you know, it's just like, that's not, come on. You know what I mean? I don't know. Don't play games. Be yourself. And if it's like, oh, I called and he didn't like me. So is that the person you want to date then? Like a friend of mine, Allison, was going through something and dating someone and the same thing. Oh, this person likes to be chased. And I was like, Al, really? Blech.
Yeah, what is that strange dance? I mean, I know it's a dance that people do, but...
It is a dance, but is that how you want to have your relationship?
Yeah.
A dance? Really? Don't you just want transparency?
My shrink that fell asleep on me while I was talking
to her.
Stop
it.
Yes, she did.
Stop it.
Yes.
Clearly wasn't a psychoanalyst.
No. She was. I was telling her my story.
Psychoanalytic psychotherapist.
She would always sit with a big yellow legal pad, you know, the big long legal pads, not the short ones.
She needed a journal.
Yeah, she'd sit, and all of a sudden I was telling my saga, my sad, sad story of life, and all of a sudden I saw the pan just go down the yellow legal pad, and she had fallen asleep.
What'd you do?
I just kept talking.
Really?
Because I was so embarrassed that she fell asleep on me. But anyway, she was the shrink that told me to get this book called that's something about the dance and how, you know, couples.
She the one that told you to have one night stands too.
Did someone tell me to have one night? No, that was the other one.
How did you forget that? She said you just need touch, Janice. Just go out and sleep with someone. I was like, this is never going to work.
The same shrink.
It's good advice, but it's never going to work. Yeah. Oh, I was like, I'm excited to see this.
It's Janice Ungaro. I need another massage, please.
Yeah.
I booked so many massages. Just touch me. Yeah. Not those kind of massages.
Creepy. Oh, God. Poor woman.
Creepy.
Oh, no. Oh, God, no.
No, okay. Anyway, Yeah, the dance.
Start running on.
Oh, God.
Quick, get a head start.
I'm just saying, sometimes if you long for, you know what, God, I'm just going to shut up right now. Huh? Something to stick in my mouth. Okay.
Oh, God.
No, I just, okay, now, I missed. Do you have any more comments for Dana about being shy and awkward? I've just ruined this.
No.
Okay.
That's it.
I'm sorry. Ruined it.
Well, you creeped it out.
I got kind of creepy about booking too many massages.
It was skeevy, yeah.
I know, well.
Maybe this is something you shouldn't share on a date, or ever.
What, did I book too many massages?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. You just told me to be transparent.
Yeah, but not when you're gross like that. No one... They don't ever need to know. There are things you can keep to yourself.
Are there? Really?
That's one.
Okay, we gotta go. Ooh, I got flop sweat now. Whenever I say something that I know I shouldn't have, I get this weird heat. Oh, maybe I'm having a hot flash. Okay. Okay, well, we'll see you next week.
Oh my God.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.